For many people, there are areas of their lives that just don't look and feel the way they wish they did. The Next Generation Wellness podcast is dedicated to unpacking the physical, mental, emotional, and social stress triggers that stack together and make that experience so. Years of piling these triggers together often leave us feeling overwhelmed, anxious, irritable, depleted, or unhappy, and operating from a place of self-doubt, comparison, procrastination, perfectionism, or busyness. We uncover the science, research, and stories of what it takes to live with whole life success, along with improved ways of thinking and the stackable skills and habits to make it stick. Just because you're not the CEO of the fastest growing company in the world, or you're not saving at-risk children in the world, it does not mean that you don't have purpose. Purpose is more of a layering effect of things that matter. So it's really unique to you. It needs to be aligned with your values. Purpose also requires us to pay close attention to those little layered acts. Otherwise, whilst really purposeful acts might actually exist in our days, we just skim over the top of them. And so we miss that sensation that they could normally bring us. There's a few variables in play when it comes to being able to consistently establish this daily sense of purpose. And I developed a purpose framework around that, because I always think, what's the point if we're trying to change something but we don't know what makes up that change and we're not measuring it along the way? This is something, one of the modules that we work through, this purpose module through the Life Reset 12-month membership. But I'd love to share those pillars with you now so that you can break them down, see the gaps, and little by little, that sense that you are living your life with purpose, that grows. It even broadens the purpose lens, so you actually get to see it more often in your day when you break this down and do this work. So the purpose framework draws important data and research in this area of purpose. It also comes from the stories of the people that I've worked with and the consistencies and patterns around it, and also for the severe longing, I guess, that I had to feel it at different stages of my life where circumstances changed and the things that used to bring me a sense of purpose were no longer present and available to me. So here's how it goes. Purpose is being present and engaged in what you are doing, and in doing it, it brings you growth in knowledge, in character, in self-concept. It also brings you a sense of satisfaction, a feeling of contribution, and a meaningful connection. And so you might listen now and think, well, that's actually really complicated, but let's just pause for a minute and I will work through each of these. So those pillars are present, engaged, growth, satisfaction, contribution, and connection. And if you really look at those deeply, you may find a reason or many reasons why you feel unfulfilled, even though life is full, or that you're doing things that are meaningful and you know they're there, but it's still something's feeling like it's missing. So let's unpack each of them a little bit more. And it might even be useful to keep a little note beside you to write down the ones that are relevant, the ones that may be stealing your sense of purpose. Because like anything, when we shine that light on them, we can then intentionally move toward making really intentional, relevant changes. So the very first pillar in this framework is presence. It's an in-the-moment, non-judgmental and receptive state. It's where you observe your environment, your own thoughts, your own feelings, just as they are, without trying to push them down, ignore them, or make them bigger than what they are. It's easier said than done. And for a lot of us in modern day society, most of us aren't present. So for a lot of us, there are moments of purpose that would bring the sense of purpose, but we are skimming over the top of them. So if you're commonly physically busy in your day, or you're thinking in the future a lot, or you're thinking in the past a lot, you may be missing those opportunities to feel a sense of purpose. So let's take, for example, motherhood. For those of you with children, I dare say for many of you, staying at home may have felt or may feel slightly unfulfilling compared to what you did before. And one of the reasons is because often at that stage, you've actually got time. And so in that state, mothers tend not to plan their day. And then if we're not planned, even if we're home all day and it's not clearly identified with different transition periods, then it's really impossible to bring true presence that feels good into those moments. It's impossible. You cannot be present all day. So rather than thinking we want to be present, but getting on and off phones and not really being present, compare that experience to scheduling tightly your day. Even if you're just at home with no traditional obligations, schedule the little things and choose a few transition periods that you are creating in that day that you intentionally decide to be present in with your children. 100%, give them your attention. They actually don't need a lot of it, but they need some where they know that you are not emotionally distracted with social media or with something else. You also give the reticular activating system this new evidence that you're actually doing a really good job of being present with your children rather than the contrary. And you develop that sense that those little moments, they matter, and they have meaning because they are creating a lifelong impact on you and your children if you are intentional about what you do in those transition periods. The same in the workplace. You could walk in and you could go through the motions. You could mark in a planner that I'm at work 9 till 5. But if you're not breaking that 9 till 5 down into key opportunities for mindfulness or those transitions, breaking it down for key opportunities to build presence in and to celebrate what has been done, then the day won't be feeling very enjoyable. So presence is huge. The second pillar is being engaged. And you go into this engaged flow state when your highest strengths are there and they're used and they meet those challenges that come your way. And there's a whole bunch of things that Martin Seligman explains as having hallmarks around these character strengths to identify them. And you can go and do a character strength or signature strength evaluation online for free to work out what they are for you. But it gives you, when you're engaged in something based on these character strengths, it means that you have this sense of ownership or authenticity over what you're doing. It's who you are. It's authentic to you. You have a feeling of excitement when you're doing it at first. There's a really good learning curve that's fast as you put the strength into practice the first time. There's a sense or a yearning to find new ways to use that skill or strength. And you have this almost this feeling of inevitability that you in using it, that you can do it. You almost know that that is an ability that you can do without having done it before. And in the process of it, you sort of get that sense of enthusiasm and joy. And so feeling engaged in the actions you complete during a day is vital. But don't confuse that with having a fun or inflow day all day. It's just ensuring intentionally that there is at least one transition in the day, that you've scheduled something that uses your character strengths. And then because you've scheduled it, you can be present and aware in that moment, and you'll find that you'll begin to get this greater sense of purpose and fulfillment in your life more often. The third pillar is growth. It is around extending and developing. And I am not talking about just traditional education. It's growth around capability. So yes, your knowledge and your skills that help you to complete what you have to do in life. It's around also your character, so your nature, your qualities, your values, your virtue. It's also around your self-concept. It's around developing and growing the belief around who you are and what you are capable of, rather than just living the same way that you already have. So let's just say most of us, for example, in a relationship have some sort of an ideal fairy tale or vision around how we'd like that to feel. It might be connected and kind and intimate and inspiring, but it'd be something positive. And when we get together in that honeymoon period or even the few years that follow, we tend to feel pretty good about it. But through the years, I would hope that most of us are growing and changing. But if we're not, we're going to lose that sense of purpose in our life. And the other challenging bit in this situation is that for many of us, if one person in a relationship is doing the work and they've got their growth, you know, purposeful, intentional challenge areas and they're growing, then what happens is sometimes someone gets left behind and they get really cranky at the other person because they're not the person that they married or they knew. And, you know, growth is this intentional challenge. It is the opposite of comfort, but it's present. If it's present daily, if we can bring some sense of growth, either in character, in capability, or in our self-concept, then we drive a very strong sense of purpose, meaning, and fulfillment in there. It's an area that sometimes people, women who perhaps stay at home and have been working, feel like that growth bit has gone. And I would say to you, you can find it. You have to just know what you value and like and find what things you would like to move towards. So in this state, it might be asking the question of, do you require growth in your capabilities to do what you believe is of purpose and brings meaning to you? Can you look at areas of growth around parenting? You know, if there are areas, what skills or knowledge do you require? Is there emotional intelligence work? Is there communication work required? Or do you require growth in your character to live out your day purposefully? Are you aligned and proud at how you consistently show up at home and work? If not, there's ways and there's gaps in that, in your character, that you can learn more about. There are experts in every area that you could possibly imagine. So even if you're at home, it doesn't mean you can't grow in character, but it is an intentional, purposeful growth, and it is a challenge. It is the opposite of comfort. So if we're not feeling fulfilled, sometimes we just need to ask ourselves better questions around where we can grow, and it takes courage and it's worth it. The next one is connection. We cannot find true meaning and purpose all on our own. Part of every human's purpose is to love and care for somebody else. We can't connect if we're trying to please other people, or we're trying to perfect things and be perfect, and or continually, you know, put walls up and protect ourselves from things that are difficult. If we don't ever fully show up, risking judgment and rejection and failure, if we're hiding parts of ourselves that we don't really want people to know, that I'll tell you we've all got, but if we're hiding that, and we're never asking other people for their insight, or at least getting curious around what other people do and how they think, then the purpose framework, this connection piece, loses its power, because the connection element is there. So stepping into first identifying, obviously, who you are and what's important to you, and then not being afraid, getting curious around it, just understanding that people are all flawed in many ways. And the moment we bring curiosity around how other people do things, it gives us our next step in terms of the growth pillar and what we could do to expand on it. So connection is important. Satisfaction is the next one. It's a sense of this personal fulfillment or achievement that in the thing that we're doing, and across your day as you look back on it, that feeling that I'm satisfied with what I did. Now, so many people are really good at saying what they haven't done and identifying that, but never shining a light and being present in the things that they have done to allow them to find that sense of satisfaction throughout the day. But I understand sometimes there are obligations and responsibilities in our days that can't be altered and can't get rid of, and that they don't bring us natural satisfaction. And I know personally, when the GFC hit us, we spent 10 years in obligation, in financial obligation. But I also wasn't willing to, I mean, I had my dips, of course, but I was not willing to let those years go and be unsatisfying and horrible, not enjoying them, just because I had obligations that sucked. I had to shift my own lens very intentionally to the things that mattered, to find the extraordinary in the ordinary. And it was one hell of a gift if I look back on that now, because we found new meaning, new ways of feeling satisfied that were within our control. And we were able to bring presence and engagement to things that mattered when they showed up. And they were the simple things. It lifted the energy. It kept the resources and energy high so that we could continue to do the obligations without losing that sense of purpose and fulfillment. It's really important. There are things that are outside of our control because of obligations, because we might lose a house because of it, because someone might leave us because of it. There are things that are difficult to make a choice around. But the thing that we do get the choice around is how we show up in that, what we take from that, how to find the extraordinary in the little ordinary moments. So if there are things that aren't satisfying, knowing it's a pillar of purpose, some will be able to be eliminated or minimized. Identify where they are and get rid of them. And then there are some that aren't satisfying and that we cannot get rid of. And so that's when we find the extraordinary in the ordinary. That's when planning the day and the transition periods for presence and building that in, and those little moments that we find, the simple little ones in the ordinary, they stack up. They diversify your identity and expand the reticular activating system's ability to bring to your awareness more and more opportunities to experience this sense of purpose. But we also have to know what drives it. We have to know that it's usually aligned with your strengths and your values. And so if we're not aware of that, then it's a really good spot to start. We can ask things around our responsibilities that are in our day. We can literally list them down and then ask if they are not meaningful or not satisfying. We can either ask, how do I create a meaningful narrative around it so it does become meaningful? Because you can do that. You have a narrative around everything and you can change it. You can't perhaps change the thing itself, the obligation itself, but the narrative and perspective you can. You know, you can ask, how do I make this more meaningful so that it elicits a sense of purpose? We can write it down. You know, if you get to your emails at work and you're replying to 400 emails in the morning, if you go in with a different narrative that every opportunity is an opportunity to connect and look at each one and send it with a real presence and attention, you realize they're purposeful moments rather than draining and just obligations. For example, too, we can look at when I drive the kids to school. For a lot of people, that moment is mundane. It's an obligation. It's a bit of a hassle. For me, it's a moment that's an opportunity for me to connect with my children, to lead them through their concerns and to be present to the tiny, tiny joys that they bring me. And this is where we use the My Best Life Planner for kids. And you can find all about that in the show notes. It's a time of the day, though, that is an obligation. But in our car, when I watch that they're learning, when they have my full attention as we work through those questions, there is a sense of satisfaction and connection that is present in that moment. And I know that I'm sharing important life lessons, and that is meaningful to me. It may not be to you, but that is aligned with the work that I love and the values that I have. And so depending on that, determining what you can do and where you can shine a light on that in your day and shift the narrative around the simple things in your day, I guarantee it brings this greater sense of purpose to your day, and that is the choice. Then we have contribution, which is literally to serve others and contribute to something greater than yourself. Sometimes we may simply be missing the element of contribution, the sense that we are contributing to something bigger than ourselves. But there's other times too that we might be contributing through obligation alone. Somebody's asked us to do something, we say yes without ever giving it a thought, and that steals our sense of purpose and steals an opportunity for us to contribute to something else that might be more values and strength aligned. So there's a very big difference between the positive sense of contribution and contributing through obligation. And the latter usually occurs when that 8-year-old self has taught us that we must please others to belong or be good at putting other people's needs before our own. So if this exists for you, that either you're contributing in the wrong spots or you need contribution, look at everything. And if there is a chance at the next opportunity to lose the ones that aren't aligned to your values and don't bring you some element, or you can't create a new narrative that makes it fulfilling, then gently shift them. And then look to actually intentionally look for opportunities where you can use those strengths and are aligned with your values to contribute more fully, that you actually enjoy it. We need to bring awareness to the contribution also that maybe you're skimming over. So you sometimes need to look at all the arenas of life and look at all the things you do that contribute above yourself to somebody else. You could be looking at parenting and home leadership. You could look at intimacy and connection, friendships, money management, meaningful work. You could look at anything and look at and list all the things that you actually are contributing to, and ask yourself, are you just rushing over those? Do you need to create transition periods in your day in the planner or another planning device that allows you to pause and stop and celebrate and acknowledge and allow the reticular activating system to acknowledge and bring more opportunities like that you are actually contributing, and that sense of purpose grows? So those 6 pillars, carefully considered, honestly considered, can bring great insight into why you are not feeling like your life is purposeful, or why your days are not filled with a sense of purpose. And as always, you are welcome to join us in the Life Reset 12-month membership if you love or at least acknowledge that you may need a deeper level of approach to this purpose piece and integrating it in the accountability around it and the many other areas that we work through in that membership. You're always welcome to join in there. And I would love nothing more than to hear which pillars out of these that we've gone through just now that you would love to advance on and exactly how you'll stay committed to that. Just add that simple layer of accountability to what you seek. I'm Erin Barnes, and I hope this brings a little more vibrancy, ambition, possibility, and wellness to your week. And if it does, I would be so very grateful if you could contribute your precious time to review the Next Generation Wellness podcast.